Washington, D.C. may have become the nation's rat capital. Local authorities estimate that more than 1 million rats live in the District of Columbia's backyards, dumpsters, kitchens, and cupboards. That's approximately 2 rats for every person. Although the city is battling its rodents, 2 consecutive warm winters have made the problem worse. NPR's Stephen Skeep reports.
Jim Felter remembers the morning he became obsessed with rats.
The first thing I do is open up my door and there's this huge rat. Walk out of my apartment, there was a rat sitting right out in front of my door. I live on the top floor. And I swear to God, this thing was 20 pounds.
The Washington filmmaker realized an idea was scuttling across the hallway.
Yeah, sit back in the dry. All right, hit the light.
Now he's spent 10 months and $12,000 of his own money shooting a documentary about rats in the nation's capital.
This is the roughest part of the film. This is very rough.
Felter shows footage of long-nosed rats living in restaurants. They crawl through trash cans.
Look how cute he is.
Thin-tailed, cancerous, tumor-covered rats ramble through backyards.
I want this to reach a wide audience, but I am shooting for a younger audience.
He sat for hours with a camera trained on a spring-loaded trap, waiting for a rat to sniff the bait.
So we came out to the site, and you can see this is an alpha rat, and he's obviously going up to see what's happening at the rat trap, and this is how they die. As you can see, it's not a pleasant death. And if you look at this, this is actually terrifying for me to watch this.
If it's lucky, a rat lives about a year. It feeds on trash. Rats thrive in a city where the government sometimes has trouble picking up the garbage.
This film is about spirituality to me. It is an exercise in spiritual responsibility, starting with the cleanliness of our own backyards. That's me. I don't expect everybody to look at the world quite that in-depth. You know, that's my curse. That's my baggage. That's my soapbox, whatever.
Felter gave us a tour of his Washington. He showed us rats in the park outside the White House. He pointed out rats squeaking through the bushes in Georgetown. Behind restaurants in the trendy Adams Morgan neighborhood, creatures swarm over a dumpster like ants. One strolls into the alleyway and stops on the bricks, studying the people who study it.
Rats' teeth grow 4 inches a year, so they're constantly gnawing. So what they wind up doing is one of their favorite things to gnaw on is the wiring in cars. This beautiful Mercedes just got out of the shop because the rats had eaten through the electrical system in there.
I'm Keith Morrison. I work at the Arms Control and Disarmament Agency here in Washington. I'm out walking the dog, and Rosa, my dog. I've got a beagle hound, and the rats are out here. The rats are drinking water. They're running around. Sometimes I come back, I have to clap my hands to make them scatter. It's pretty disgusting, especially when I come out like with flip-flops on and sort of open-toed stuff. I was kind of nervous that they're going to run over and bite me, but they keep away from the dog.
Experts consider rats less of a health hazard than in the past. Government efforts have virtually eliminated the Black Plague, the murderous disease that used to ride on fleas that rats carried. In Washington, the number of rat bites has been dropping for decades. But the district's top exterminator says the creatures still turn up in kitchens. William Page says some burrow into the padding of easy chairs. He insists that a few have even crawled through bathroom plumbing.
This is another story, but it's a true story. Rats do come up in the commode. And so when you go in the bathroom tonight, make sure you turn the lights on because you don't know what you may sit on.
No, wait a minute. I've heard that story. I've assumed that is a myth. That's
no.
Got to be a myth.
No, that is true. That is true. That is true.
How do they do that?
Sometimes they're broken pipes within the area where the sewer line comes.
As the local chief of vector control, Page sends out exterminators like Willie Hannon Sr. On this morning, Hannon stands in the backyard of a row house. A trash can lies overturned in the yard. A vodka bottle sits in the dirt.
One also. That's a red barrel.
So they go down. They're living underneath. They're living underneath this porch we're standing on. They got a hole on that side, a hole on that side.
That's that. That's right. Got a front and a back door.
Hannon points a spray gun down a tunnel rats dug in the dirt. He squirts his poison, then plugs the hole. He stuffs the tunnel with wadded-up pages of the Washington Post, the business news, classifieds, the presidential sex scandal. Hannon shoves it all down.
Got my paper here. I'm going to stuff these holes up.
You've been applying these rodenticides for 17 years?
I have, yes.
Have you ever gotten a mouthful, a whiff of this stuff?
Question or whatever. Oh, no. No, no.
Never? No, not by accident? Never happened once?
Not by accident. Never. Never.
Do you ever worry about just being around all that stuff year after year after year?
Oh, sure. I worry about it. Sure, I worry about it, but I haven't had any symptoms.
Although he's eligible to retire this month, Hannon plans to work a few more years. He likes the job. At his next stop, he meets Bernard Harris, who complains that rats have been swarming through the yard where he plans a cookout.
Yeah, some pretty big rats around here.
How big do they get? You're holding your hands like about 2 feet apart.
I guess so, yeah, something like that, I guess. These are pretty big rats. Yeah, I guess they're about 2 feet. You know, with their tail and all, maybe about 3.5 feet, I guess. Pretty big rats, I'm telling you.
They're not 3.5 feet, are they?
No, not 3.5 feet.
Well, maybe they are. I don't know.
Well, maybe that's exaggeration, but that's what it looks like to me sometimes, you know.
A rat carcass lies rotting in the grass. But exterminator Willie Hannon can't spray poison here because he can't find any rat holes.
They're around.
They is not living in your yard because I don't see a rat barrel in there.
Yeah, I understand.
No hole or nothing, and we cannot put this rodenticide up on top of the earth because it's too potent. It can kill anything. And anything is what we don't want to kill. Rats only.
The rats scampering through this yard live down the street. Willie Hannon finds their home, a yard with at least a dozen openings to a cave complex. But he can't spray there because the neighbors haven't given permission. Vector Control Chief William Page says he has no power to spray on private property. And even if he did, it isn't safe.
We have had knives and guns drawn on us. You have drug dealers who have stashed their stashes in some areas out there. Trash cans, abandoned cars, and they feel threatened when we come by because we don't know what's there.
Knowing the limits of extermination, Page appeals to residents. He asks them to clean their garbage and cut off the rats' food supply. Page has a master's degree in community psychology.
We are dealing with the community all the time and try to psych them out if possible if they don't psych me out first.
A few years ago, the Smithsonian Institution gave Page a prop to use when he talks to people. It's a freeze-dried rat. Page pulls it out of a freezer at the office. The rat weighs 11 ounces. It's about 8 inches long, which is a typical size. It's mounted on a piece of green plywood, poised as if ready to jump.
This is the real thing.
What is the response at community meetings when you, I guess we'd probably take them in a cooler or something like that, and pull it out of the cooler, pull out this rat and hold it up in front of everybody. What's the reaction usually?
Terrified. Terrified. They don't like it. Ah, put that away.
It's not a pleasant job, yet like the filmmaker Jim Felter, William Page finds something spiritual in it.
I have to relate back to what my son had told a neighbor years back. He was at the age of 9 at the time. My neighbor asked my son, I said, what does your father do? My son looked up and said, well, he chases and kills rats for a living. So that's something, you know, it's kind of caught me off guard. But sometimes, you know, people look down on you, but I don't worry about what people say because they talked about Jesus Christ. I'm trying to make sure that I can improve the world as I pass by. As my philosophy is that if I can help someone as I live, then my living is not in vain.
In Page's hands, the frozen rodent seems almost alive. Its nose juts into the air as if sniffing for food. Its long, bare tail curls so it doesn't drop over the edge of the board. Its grayish-brown coat shines. It shines. Gradually, you realize that somebody groomed this rat, carefully, delicately, lovingly, brushing its fur into place. Steve Inskeep, NPR News, Washington.